Welcome to another edition of the Superflight Podcast, your aquatint of NBA podcasts. Look it up. It's fun. How's it going, people? Welcome back. It's been a crazy week. Just wanted to come in and talk to you guys for a second about life and love and relationships and I really wanted to talk to you about how depressing this election cycle was. I don't really want to get into politics, but since I was really upset and I'm an overreactionary person and I can't really tend to contain myself sometimes, I was on Twitter this week, and instead of actually using my own personal Twitter, I used the Superflight Twitter, and I blasted a bunch of like anti-Donald Trump things. One of the things I think I said that was that I've never been so embarrassed and ashamed to be an American citizen right now, which is not necessarily true. Again, I'm overreactive. I say shit that I shouldn't, and I don't really think them through all the time before I say things. That's not an excuse. That's just not an excuse for my stupid behavior. The thing is, like, I think myself, like all of us, have just been really struggling to come to terms with the fact that we now have a reality TV star running our country. So, and in fact, our country is now reality TV. It's sad. I'm personally a little bit scared. I'm very disappointed. And I'm concerned, but I also have a little bit of hope that the American public, the American people, people like me and people like you will kind of rally together around people that we love and people that we know need our help. Because look, as a white man, I know that I'm in a place of privilege from the get-go. And I think, and I'm saying this to myself and to all of you who are in the same position, that we need to use our voice to help people that are, not as fortunate to be born white and a male in our American society. Boy, this is getting really hot. I'll cool it down. But I'm determined to use my status as a white American male to help others. And I don't want us to lose the progress that we've made over the last how many years, specifically eight, especially eight. But things that we fight for now haven't always been the thing. It's not a linear battle. Our voices and our ideas of what's good and what's bad change through time. So it's not like we've been fighting the same fight since the start of the country. But in any case, I'm proud and happy to stand with my brothers and sisters who are brown and black and Asian and Latino and gay or lesbian or women that, and anybody who is not like me, but needs the same voice, that deserves to have their voice heard and deserves to be considered the same way white men are. I understand, if you're a working class white male and you voted for Donald Trump, you probably did it not because you're racist, but probably because you feel neglected and you feel like, maybe you don't matter as much. Maybe the government is not looking out for you and you feel like they're corrupt and you feel like you just can't get ahead. You can't get a break. We don't get paid enough for what we do, et cetera, and so on. And I understand that the healthcare you may feel is rigged against you. Like premiums have risen or something since Obamacare has been in. It's a very complicated, I'm not getting into it. I don't really know that much about it. And I can't really talk about it, but I just want to say that I do believe that the majority of people that voted for Donald Trump are not racists. They did excuse some racist behavior. They did ignore the fact that he's a misogynist. And in fact, white women voted for Donald Trump too. So, I guess you can rectify that with yourself somehow. It's whatever. My point is that I want to bridge the gap, and I don't want hate and fear to come between all of us, and I want to find a better way. And, honestly, Donald Trump right now is, and I'm going to start freaking out again when he chooses a cabinet, but right now he's in a very enviable position. He went into office as a Republican, But that doesn't, he's not historically been a Republican. So he's in a position right now where he could pretty much choose anybody in his cabinet that he wants. And I'm hopeful that President Obama will maybe get through to him a little bit and make some sense and say, listen, you know, you can have some liberal thinking people on your cabinet with you. You can mix and match. You can get a, you know, a nice selection of both voices in there with you. And you could really mend bridges and gap the divide and move the country forward. And, you know, for all those people that voted for him, I hope he does. As people have said, I hope he does, like, you know, find a way to make things better for everyone. I don't know that he will, and I'm super frightened. And I feel like his being nominated and his candidacy, the just the rhetoric that he used, just the, you know, it just enabled or emboldened a disgusting underbelly of the United States to come out of the woodwork and have a voice. And that really is ultimately what bothers me so much. In a way, I'm happy those people came forward, and I hope every one of those people that made themselves known as a racist and misogynist and a royal piece of shit, I hope they get what's coming to them. I hope these kids that put blackface on in college in South Carolina and blasted an Instagram of them, you know, in front of a Confederate flag, I hope those kids are expelled. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't be wishing ill on people, but, you know, you can't act like that. And I hope as a society, we stand up and say, that's not okay. And hopefully these are just like, we know that racism has been going on since the founding of this country. Nothing is new. I should really stop talking about this really soon, but I, you know, like all of us, I'm trying to reconcile what's going on and I'm trying to be okay with it. I'm trying to watch a lot of basketball so that I can calm down. I think we just need to do what we can. If that means volunteering, if that means offering up your time or your money or whatever you can do to help those less fortunate, do it. You know, that's all. And I think that in the same way that Donald Trump's presidency has emboldened this nasty underbelly of the United States, it hopefully will also embolden the good people like us that do want to see justice and fairness and equality for everyone. And hopefully our voice and our goodwill towards one another is bigger and better and will succeed. Truly, this kind of breaks my heart what's going on, but I also feel like we're better than this and we know it and we can do better and we will do better. And I think we just need to rally around that and be good to each other. Anyway, sorry I went on this rant. If you guys, you know, I know you're not on here to hear about me talk about politics. I'm not, you know, a very political guy for the most part. So anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest. I'm trying to heal like we are in a weird way. It's, you know, talking about healing, it's whatever. But, you know, to that end, Saturday night, the wife and I, we went out and we went to do, you know, we hung out in the city and we went and saw some stand-up comedy. We went and got dinner. If you guys ever in the in New York in the West Village, there's a bunch of good comedy clubs. You know, we couldn't get into the Comedy Cellar because it's all sold out and you have to, you know, because Louis C.K. does that one. And there's a lot of famous comedians that hang out there, but right down the way, there's a, you know, a couple of places that you can just walk in and see some really good comics, and it's a lot of fun and good stuff. And man, it takes your mind off of everything. And we don't go see live comedy enough. We don't go see live jazz enough. We don't take advantage of the city the way we should, but that also comes with not having money, you know, but whatever. But, you know, do what you guys can. Do what you can to stay positive. Do what you can to stay up. I went for a nice 7-mile run this morning, and that always puts me in a good mood, you know? So, you know, do what you can. Be positive. Speaking of being positive, I'm going to talk some Nets basketball tonight with my guest, Sandy Moy. And you can follow Sandy. Let me look up her Twitter real quick. You can follow Sandy at Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y-M-U-I, 1134 on Twitter. She writes for fan-sided blog, you know, for Brooklyn Nets, and she does some good writing, and she'll come on in a bit and tell us more. We're going to talk about the Nets hot start and all things Nets. So this is the part of the program where I tell you guys, if you don't like the Brooklyn Nets, and you don't want to hear me talk about the Brooklyn Nets, tune out. I know a lot of you just come in for the beginning. You just want to hear my stupid diatribe, right? But yeah, so you can turn off. You can go away and come back next week. But if you care about the Nets or you want to hear about them at all, hang out. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk some Nets. And if you want to follow the show and you want to reach out and let me know that you're listening, which would be really appreciated because, you know, some days this is a real struggle to keep going when I think no one's listening. I'm just appealing to your sense of dignity, friends. Help me out. Throw me a bone. Write. Send me a rating or a review on iTunes and or Stitcher or SoundCloud or podcast or whatever podcast you listen to, whatever podcast format you listen to. Let me know you're out there. Say hi. We can get into a nice discussion and it would be fun. I'd love to do a question and answer podcast for you guys soon, but first I need some questions. So if you want to send one in and hit me up, feel free. You can email me at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the, or you can just hit me up on Twitter at superflightpod. You can hit me personally at Joe Borelli on Twitter. And you can follow the show, you know, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever, what have you. I know you can listen to it on so many different platforms, and I hope you do. And if you listen, rate, review, and leave me a message. Anyway, be right back. Hang tight. So, welcome to the podcast, Sandy. Why don't you tell the everybody listening how to get in touch with you and where to follow you at, etc.
I'm on Twitter, like I live on Twitter at Sandy Moy 1134, and you can spell my name as SandyMui. And I'm also one of the site co-experts at Nothing But Nets, fan-sided blog about the Brooklyn Nets. So you can find me there too, and we have a whole lot of content going up every day with our wonderful staff of 15 writers.
Nice. 15, that's a lot. I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah, we added a whole lot of people recently.
Great. Nothing wrong with that. So, do you mind telling me a little bit about how you got involved with the Nets or why you're so interested in the Nets? Give us a little background so we know what to, so we know how to approach you as a person.
Very funny story, actually. It was when I was in fourth grade, so this was 2006 when the Nets were still in New Jersey. My elementary school was giving out two tickets to a Nets game, and I couldn't go to that game, but I've kept up with them ever since. I just fell in love with basketball and the Nets right away.
That's cool. It's a good sport to fall in love with. I mean, it could be worse. You could be watching, like, you know, hockey or something.
Never say never. It might be a job to cover hockey someday, and that seems like the second easiest sport to understand.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not knocking hockey. I'm just goofing around. I've watched it before. I'm not a big fan, but whatever. Anyway, you want to talk about some Brooklyn Nets?
You betcha.
Cool. So they're off to a pretty crazy 4-5 start, or four and six now? Did they play? They just lost last night, right? What was the final score on that one?
Just a bit heartbreaking. I'm not too disappointed. It was the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, right. So that's a tough game right there.
I mean, I honestly don't think we were trying to win since we sat out Brook and he's going to be all rested up for tonight against the Lakers, which is a much easier chance to win.
Well, yeah, except for the Lakers are playing really well, but yeah.
I can't believe you're saying that, but yeah, they are.
I know.
I don't like the Lakers, but they are doing well.
Hey, join the club. I'm from the Philly area. I really don't like the Lakers. I'm still carrying a wounded heart from 2001 when they lost in the finals. Anyway, so you wrote this article recently about the Brooklyn Nets. Let me backtrack a little bit. So they're off to a really good start for the Nets. For like everyone thought that they would be much worse than they are right now, myself included. Well, I mean, I thought they would be, you know, bad, but not as bad as everyone else projected. But they're off to a fairly decent start here. And I was wondering about, like, what are some of the possible reasons? So I came up with a list that I sent you, and let's talk a little bit about this. So, for starters, the head coach, Kenny Atkinson, I think he's doing a really good job of getting the most out of his players, like a bunch of, like, essentially no-name players. What do you think about that? Do you think he's doing a good job?
Well, if Atkinson doesn't get coach of the week for last week, then he's still my coach of the week. Might be my coach of the year. But, like, yeah, he's doing a really good job. He's really able to make something out of nothing. I mean, I didn't think our roster was that bad when I first looked at it. Obviously, we don't have too much star talent, but it's not like we don't have the pieces there to win games. And I don't understand why no one takes me seriously when I tell them I'm a Nets fan. Like, just the other day, I think it was sometime last week, I was out wearing my Nets hat and some guy passed me saying the Nets suck.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. You didn't even ask him for his advice, huh?
We live in New York City, so obviously the Knicks are much more popular, regardless of how well they do, and to be honest, not very well this season.
Yeah, they're...
But the Nets, they should not be overlooked.
Yeah, so it's true. I think Atkinson's going to done... No, I think he's done a wonderful job so far. I think... So you wrote an article about... they've been shooting a number of threes, like way more than anyone would have expected them to this year. And I think there's a statistic, I'm really bad at finding statistics on the internet, but something like they're shooting one of the least percentages of mid-range jumpers in the league. So it's either getting to the rim or shooting three-point shots. And maybe that was in your article, I forget. You should plug that article here and tell us about that a little bit.
I actually have to fix up that article a bit, probably tonight. So I will tweet that out first thing tomorrow morning. And yeah, they're actually shooting, I believe, the third most amount of threes in the league, but they're not completely bad threes. And we just tweeted out a statistic from Nicholas. Hang on.
That's an interesting name.
Nicholas, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's Syria, S-C-I-R-I-A. The Nets are taking a lot of threes this season, but 87.2% of them have been open or wide open. So it's not like they're bad looks.
Right.
And you'll see that in, if you watch their games. I know you can't.
Right.
But they're not taking too many contested shots unless it's the shot clock running down.
So are they primarily just like going for the rim, and if it's not, they'll drive and kick? Is that sort of how it's working for them?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're doing. And Kenny Atkinson has given them the green light to do whatever they can from behind the arc if it's an open look. And I don't see why they can't take an open look. They just have to start knocking more of them down.
Right, because they're shooting at a really high rate, but they're not sinking them at a very high rate. And I think... their statistics are something like, let me look here. I think I have it. No, I lost it. they're shooting like 14th. They have 14th best points per game in the league. So that's not bad. They're averaging like 105.2 points per game. So it's working somewhat. Brooke Lopez has taken more threes this year, I think, already than he has, in his entire career?
Yeah, he took like three in his entire career before this.
So they're definitely working. I think Kenny Atkinson should get a lot of credit for, working the three-point shot in there and taking like really high percentage shots, getting him at the rim and getting him at the three-point line. Because obviously the 3 points are worth more than two. It's the way the league's going. So, and I think their pick-and-roll offense, I think, has been pretty good for that for them up to this point. I think where they fall apart a little bit, and the reason their record may not be better, is A, because of shooting, and B, because they, their defense probably is not very good. I think they're like 28th in the league. Yeah, they're 28th in the league in defense. So that's not great. But I think overall, for the most part, the ability that Atkinson's shown to get them, scoring efficiently with such, limited guys on his roster, I think is a huge testament to him as a coach, and I think it was a really great hire. What do you think?
I mean, first of all, about the defense part, I love the Nets but I really haven't seen them play defense at all in any of their games.
In how many
And
years?
I would say probably only Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Kilpatrick if he gets a steal. That then that's what I consider defense.
Right.
Any other time, we get lucky when the other team misses a shot. I'm just being real here.
Hey, listen, I'm a Sixers fan. I know exactly what you're going through. But I mean, maybe it's something that I think that Hollis Jefferson, he's been pretty good on defense, right? But his offense is also like horribly bad this year for some reason.
He's been improving, and just the other day against Phoenix, but we won that game, the first West Coast road trip game. He did really well. That's what pulled us through it, and that we made most of our threes.
That'll help. That'll help. Hitting open shots or hitting shots in general, sinking the ball, that'll help you win, generally speaking. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Trevor Booker. He's added some depth to the position. I know, like for myself, like I love Thaddeus Young, and I thought once they lost him, it was going to be a huge loss for them on the team because Thad just brings energy, and he just, he's a player's player. He's a pro. Losing him, I thought they would take a little bit of a step back, but it seems like Trevor Booker has really added some value to the team. Can you talk about Trevor a little bit?
Sorry, you were breaking up.
Oh, really? I thought you just hung up on me. I was just asking you to talk about Trevor Booker a little bit, adding value to the team.
Yeah, Thad Young holds a special place in my heart too.
Nice.
And I went to the home opener against Indiana just so I could see him back here. But yeah, Trevor is doing a great job. I think he's the epitome of Brooklyn grit, if not Kilpatrick.
Right.
And he may not be putting up the same points as Thad, but he's certainly helping us in rebounds, where surprisingly our 2 7-footers, Brooke and Justin, lack.
Yeah, they're not great at re I think Brook Lopez has had he's so far had a career I'm like his he's not lived up to his career rebounding numbers this year, which has dipped. I think he's only averaged like 7 point something per game for his career, which for a 7 foot guy, that's a little, it's not great. But I think he's down to like 5 per game this year.
Yeah, it's probably not helping that he spends a lot of time behind the arc now. But even last season, Thad was our leading rebounder with 9.1.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't realize because that's not a great rebounder either, but he gets the job done. And
So
then,
it was 9, and I think Brooke had 7.1. Yeah, that's what.
yeah, but surprisingly, they are like ninth in the league right now in rebounds per game. So that's not nothing. That's definitely good. It's definitely helping them. And I mean, if you can get the rebound and kick the ball out and work it around a little bit around the perimeter, man, there's your open threes. So,
Yeah, Booker is really helping us with that. And I applaud him as power forward to be doing that.
yeah, because he's definitely an undersized power forward, right?
Right.
Another thing, like you wrote another article about Sean Kilpatrick stepping up as an unlikely hero. What was the title of your piece? He could be our hero or something like this.
Sean Kilpatrick will be our hero this season.
There you go. It's a good article. I suggest you read it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, not you. I know you read it because you wrote it, but everyone else that's listening, they should read it. It's nice. Do you think so? He's averaging like 15.8 points per game, and I think like a couple of assists and maybe 4 rebounds or something like that, which is really great for a guy that came out of nowhere. He was in the D League last year or the year before.
Yes, he's bounced around a bunch of teams, Denver, D League.
So, do you think he can keep up the good start?
Well, last night was a struggle for him. I don't blame him. It was the Clippers. And I had high hopes for him coming into the season, so it's not too surprising to me that he's doing so well. And I just called him an unlikely hero because not many people even knew who this guy was a couple of seasons ago. And the Nets really got a gem in him.
Yeah, I think he's got a nice upward, trajectory. Although he's what, 26 now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's still room for growth, and I think if he could end up being, how's his 3-point shot? I don't even know. Could he be that 3 and D guy for them once they start getting a little bit better?
I know Bojan is known more for his 3-point shooting, but Kilpatrick has been shooting a lot of them this season, and he's been doing pretty well at them from what I could see from the games.
Yeah, I've caught a couple minutes here and there because, well, I have to sort of watch them on different sources that I can't talk about. Because NBA League Pass won't allow me to watch the Nets or the Knicks games. But yeah, so when I do catch him, he just looks like a pretty quick player, I think. He's pretty offensively, not offensively, but he's pretty athletically gifted, which I guess everybody, I say this every single podcast, everybody in the NBA is athletically gifted. But if I remember correctly from his games, because I don't get to watch them much, he seems like he's really quick with the ball and he can get to the rim. So that's definitely a positive.
His quickness definitely helps since he's coming off the bench, and to be honest, he and Hamilton are pretty much our only firepower off the bench. And our bench is doing really well. Last time I checked hoop stats, we were just behind the Lakers in production, so that was really good.
That is really good because I think the Lakers have one of the best benches in the league this year.
And I can't believe we're saying that.
I know. Tell me about it. But that's awesome. Do you know what their bench was averaging? It's okay. Don't worry about it. I don't, it's fine. Don't worry about it. That's cool. So they're having a good start to the season. Again, like I think that they're doing actually, a lot better than most people thought they would. Everyone was saying they were going to be the worst team in the league, and I didn't buy into that. I did the season preview, not season. Well, it was a season prediction. It was during the season because the games had just started, but it was during the season predictions, and I suggested or I guessed that they would not finish with the worst record in the league. So far, that's looking like the only thing that might come true for me.
Look, I never thought the Nets would be the worst team in the league, and I may be biased as a Nets fan, but just looking at their roster, I wasn't like, oh, this is going to be a total disaster. We're not looking to win that many games this season since it's all about developing the young guys, but that not to say that the Nets are just going to tank and they're only going to get like what, 20 wins? That was what ESPN projected us at. Since just 9 games into the season, we were at 4-5, so if they kept up that pace, we'd be at 36 wins.
And that would be a huge win for them for the season. If they get 36 wins on the season, they would finish, which, by the way, I'll just say that I don't think they will, but 36
At
wins, man.
31.
Yeah. They would finish probably like what, 10th, 11th, 12th in the league or from the bottom? That's not bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad. And listen, I'm totally rooting for the Nets to get, a lot of wins under their belt because I don't want them to give up their first round pick to Brooklyn and have it be like number
The
one.
Boston, yeah.
Or not Brooklyn, sorry, Boston. Yeah. I don't want Boston to get a number one pick because of this pick swap or this, having their picks.
It's really been annoying, this whole draft pick situation. I didn't keep up with the Nets too much when that whole Blockbuster deal happened, which was like around the time they actually came to Brooklyn. Surprisingly, I'm a Brooklynite, but wasn't too excited when they actually came here. But yeah, and all Nets fans know the pain. We just want that to end.
You know what? I'm rooting for them to be better than, yeah, just to be good. To be good as they can possibly be. But, speaking of, they've had a pretty easy schedule so far. And I think the strongest team they played until last night was the Hornets. And so I mentioned to you before that like their schedule is about to get pretty difficult because they played the Clippers, they have the Lakers coming up, right? And then OKC and PDX. But it looks like OKC might actually be winnable now because they've dropped four in a row. All of a sudden they look like just not a great team.
I have not kept up with the Thunder, but they're my third team.
Oh really? Who's your
Yeah,
second?
the Knicks.
Oh, of course. Why do I even ask?
Well, some people think it's weird that I'm a Nets and a Knicks fan.
Yeah, I mean, you were born in New York, right?
Yeah, it was mainly because of Jamal Crawford I got into the Knicks. I don't know why I appreciate mediocrity, but I do.
I Fair
Not
enough.
that Jamal is mediocre, not at all, but the Knicks that year were mediocre.
Yeah, the Knicks have long been a mediocre team. Oh, Knicks. Anyway. But yeah, so they got some tough games coming up. Are you going to stay up for all of them? Because they're all on the West Coast.
Tonight, probably not. I have a midterm to cram for, and then OKC, definitely two of my favorite teams, and Portland I'm gonna go to, actually. It's back at home.
Oh, it's back in Brooklyn. Okay, cool. Oh, you're going to that game? That should be awesome.
The tickets were very cheap.
Really?
I applaud Portland for being in a small market, because I get to see Damian Lillard
Yeah.
and CJ McCollum for only $25.
That is not bad. Where'd you get the tickets?
The best site is SeatGeek.com, because it like pretty much ranks how much value you're getting out of your tickets. So if it's like a good view and the pricing and whatnot.
You know, this isn't an ad for SeatGeek, but I might have to go check that out. I think it's about time I go see a game. I'd love to see PDX. Portland, that is. And I have a friend who'd probably like to see them too. Yeah, cool. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about Jeremy Lin. He came out hot. I have him on my fantasy basketball team, and then he got injured and it's killing my fantasy basketball team. I just can't win with fantasy basketball. It just ruins everything for me.
I'm in a fantasy league with my writers for the first time like ever.
How's it going?
I don't even log in. How do you keep up with
It's
that?
really difficult. It's not easy. I mean, I do it like once a week. I'll swap out my players for the whole week, and that's my strategy. So I don't pay as much attention as I should, and that's why I never win. But yeah,
Yeah, I've logged in like three times since the season started, and I've only changed my lineups once because I saw like a couple of players weren't playing, so I just swapped in for whoever was playing, and that was it.
yeah, it's a hard thing to keep up with. I don't know. Like, and there's people in my league. I don't know why we're talking about fantasy basketball right now, but there's people in my league who are like obsessive about it. They're constantly watching the waiver wire and like I think these guys do this stuff at work while they're supposed to be working. They're probably sitting on their computer, like switching players out and reading NBA news. And like, I don't even do that. And I have a goddamn podcast. Sorry. But yeah, so anyway, so Jeremy Lin's going to be reevaluated this week, right?
Yep, he is. Sometime this week is what they said on the Yes Network broadcast yesterday.
Yeah, and then I guess hopefully he'll be back after that or shortly after that. I guess he pulled his hamstring, right?
Yep, he had a strained left hamstring. I'm hoping he'll be back before we have to buy our turkeys.
Oh, yeah. And he's been killing it this year. He's like averaging 15 points a game. 6.2 assists and 3.8 rebounds. That's right. I'm looking at his stats right now. In 21 minutes, which is really, really good.
He's killing it with the ball handling, man. Like if we don't have him running the point, I don't know.
Yeah. Who's been running the point? Is that Isaiah Whitehead?
It's been well. White is out with a
No,
concussion.
that's
He's day
right.
to
Yeah.
day. We've had a mix of Pharrell, Kilpatrick, and sometimes RHJ. It's
Wow.
crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know how they're winning any games. There's a problem with their team though, is the bench. I know they're scoring well, but like if they don't have another real point guard, that's kind of tough, you know? It puts them in
Yeah,
a bad.
that's why we called up Pharrell, my bad. I keep saying Pharrell, it's Pharrell.
No.
And I was really disappointed with Vasquez. Not his fault at all that he got injured, but he
Right.
was looking for another comeback.
Yeah. And then he got injured and they cut it. What injury did he have? I forget. Was it his Achilles, I think, or something?
I believe it was his ankle.
It was ankle. Close.
Again,
That's really
yeah.
close to your Achilles. They're kind of connected.
Yeah, kinda. I
One's
don't
on the
really know
side, the
what
other's in the
that
back.
means.
Hey, listen, I'm getting old. Leave me alone. But yeah, so hopefully when he comes back, I mean, that'll give him a serious boost, right? They can definitely use his scoring and his court vision. What do you think about the return of Linsanity? You think that's going to happen? Because I would love to see it.
I would love to see one too, but just realistically speaking, I don't want to dub it as Linsanity because that would put too much pressure on him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if we steal Insanity or not either, as well, as long as does well here, because he's got the lead point guard role again, like in Linsanity. So If we see similar numbers, sure, that's good, but I don't really see the necessity of it.
Yeah, I think he's in a perfect spot for him. It's why I grabbed him on my fantasy league. I think this is just a really good spot for him. He can play the pick and roll with Brook Lopez, and he can run the floor. And it's his team, and he doesn't have to really worry about it. I think it's a really good spot for him to be in, especially since there's so many young guys and they're growing, and there's not that much pressure on the team to perform because, they have to work with what they have right now.
You know, speaking of young guys, it's really weird to think of Lin as some like old experienced veteran, but he is one of the older guys on the team.
Yeah, he's 28. I know, it's crazy. It seems like he just came in, but I mean, he came into the league when he was a little bit older to begin with, right? I think when he got to the Knicks, he was 24. He was undrafted, right? And so,
Yes, he was.
yeah, he was a phenom. Well, not a phenom, but he was just like he came off. They picked him up, and he came out of nowhere. Well, everybody knows the story of Lin's sanity, so we don't really need to go into that. But yeah, it's funny that he's 28 already, and it just seems like he's barely been in the league.
And yeah, he's been mentoring Whitehead before, both of them were out. And there's only nice things the guys say about each other. So I'm starting to see chemistry on and off the court, which is something the Nets have been lacking for like ever.
Yeah. Since Jason Kidd, I guess, huh?
Yeah, since then. I mean, last season you hear a bunch of stuff like Joe Johnson saying that guys are only here to pad their stats. And you had guys who just couldn't perform, Shane Larkin being a disappointment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so it's good to have him in there and being the one of the elder statesmen. But here's a question though, speaking of elder statesmen, there's been Brook Lopez trade rumors flying around already. What do you think about that? Do you think they're going to try and move him?
Okay, I've seen some ridiculous posts on Facebook for like who they should trade Brook Lopez for. I've seen a Klay Thompson one. Like that's not gonna happen.
That's not going to happen.
That's not gonna happen. And who's gonna be our center then? You can't just put Hamilton in the lead role right away.
Yeah.
Well, if it's gonna be a trade, it has to be a center for center trade and hopefully some cash or draft picks. I personally don't see it happening just because I don't think we could get a sizable offer that would be good enough.
Right. And what's the sense of moving? I mean, it's just going to hurt your team, and you're not going to get anything worth value in return. It would only be setting you back further. If you keep him on the roster now, at least they could possibly outperform expectations for the season. They could have a fun year. They could give people something to look forward to for the future. If you trade him again, you're not going to get what he's worth. And actually, I don't know what he's worth, to be honest with you. I mean, he's had a long history of injuries, and he finally stayed healthy the last year. But if he's adding a 3-point shot to his game and stretching the floor, and we know that he's offensively gifted to begin with, but
Right.
and he's not like a defensive stopper. He's not perfect on, defending the pick and roll. He doesn't rebound very well, but he is a really nice piece. And if you could, trade him to a sort of contending team, it would be great for that team, but I don't know what they would be able to give the Nets in return. What could you possibly get? What would you want in return for me if you could swing a deal?
I mean, the only reasonable deals I've seen are probably him for a center from the Sixers, like Noel.
Yeah, except
Is
for
that
that the Sixers already have too many centers.
yeah, I mean, I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what else would be awkward? The Nets have pretty much capitalized on Brook Lynn, so it'd be kind of awkward if we traded him this season.
That's true. I totally forgot about the Brook Lynn thing. That's pretty hilarious. Is that a coincidence, or you think they lined that up on purpose? I don't know.
Well, I know Brook Lynn wasn't originally taken by Lynn, but he owns the trademark now.
Oh,
And
really?
yeah, I
Oh,
have a Brook Lynn.
that's hilarious. He actually trademarked that? I thought it was just like a running joke.
Well, someone had it, and then they transferred it to Lynn.
That's pretty awesome. Good deal. Well, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would be available for them to. I can't see a trade happening. I don't know. I mean, they would, if I was them, if I was going to trade him, I would definitely want picks back in return. Who would give up a pick for him? I have no idea.
And I would want more than picks because we had to give that up for two picks, and that was
Right,
it.
exactly. And then, like, so you have on the bench, you have Scola. So I don't think Scola can be your starting center. I mean, you lose so much offensively. I mean, I like Skoll and all, but
neither can Hamilton, and I do like Hamilton's offensive abilities, but he can't be the starting center either.
Yeah, he's still very young, right? Wasn't he in the D-League last year or something?
He has been in the D-League, yes.
Yeah. So there's that. I don't know. I mean, I think maybe if somebody really floats them an interesting trade around the trade deadline, somebody's trying to get into the playoffs or somebody's trying to, like, make their team just a bit better to go forward. I don't know. I guess it could happen. For now, I don't see what anyone would possibly offer them that they would take unless they were, you know, a number one, not a number one pick, but a first round pick. But I don't know who gives that up for Brooke Lopez. And he's, what, 28, 29, 30?
I believe 29.
So he's still got some years left. Yeah.
28.
He is 28?
Yeah, 28.
Oh, he's an old 28.
He is Jeremy Lin's age.
Yeah, but unlike Jeremy Lin, I feel like he's been around the league forever.
Yeah, it does feel like a long time since he's been here since New Jersey era.
Yeah, I guess that's what the probably the thing, right? Like he's come from an entirely different team. Yeah, it's weird. I think that I don't know. It's an interesting proposition, but I don't. You know what I would like to do is go on like the ESPN trade machine and see if I could work a trade, and then maybe I'll come back to you with that.
I mean, we've had a bunch of guys do all these trade rumors during the summer, and I always had to verify on the ESPN trade maker.
I mean, you have to. It's great. It's great.
I feel like everything just goes through, though. I don't know if ESPN has ever declined a trade for me.
Oh, boy.
I've seen some crazy ones.
I've had a number that were, like, most of mine are declined. Like, can I trade LeBron for, can I trade for LeBron? I'll give you the whole team. Will that go through? It doesn't usually work.
Yeah, can we trade the whole team for KD?
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, so let me ask you, what are your hopes for the team for the rest of the season? I know we talked about, like, they're surprising people already. But what do you think? Do you think finishing in the 30s, is that your hope? Or do you hope that they finish better? I mean, obviously, you're a fan, and with blind fandom comes ridiculous, unrealistic hopes. But what are your hopes?
I mean, unrealistic hopes. I'm not someone who sees the Nets making the playoffs. But I think 31 wins, which is what I had for the Nets at the end of the offseason, would be manageable. Since I told you before, after 9 games, we were at 4 wins. So that would hopefully give us 36 by the end of the season. And we're not going to make the playoffs, let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't think you're fooling anyone there.
We'd have to win against a lot of good teams, and we have beaten Indiana, but I don't think we can do that consistently. And too many of the, I can't, I don't think we can do get too many of those wins.
Right. Well, I mean, I think if I was in your position, I would. I mean, if I was a Brooklyn Nets fan, I'm not a Brooklyn Nets fan. I'm definitely more of a Nets fan than I am, say, a Boston Celtics fan.
Well,
don't tell anybody in Boston.
Those two teams go hand in hand, so you like one of them but not the other.
Yeah, and I don't wish any ill will on Boston or anything. I'm just like not actively rooting for them. I'm actively rooting that they don't get Brooklyn's great pick, is all. But if I were you, I mean, like, they have some really intriguing young players, and I think for me, I would want to see. And already we've seen that Kenny Atkinson seems like he's going to be a good coach. I would want to see that he can teach defense too, because they're awful on defense right now. That could be as a result of the personnel he has on the team, or it could be a result of his system. Not sure. I would want to see some growth in that area. I think he's done a magical job with getting them to rebound, especially since Brooke, as we said, doesn't rebound. And you know, just keep up the offensive pace. I think just the fact that he's gone to a 3 and driving to the rim sort of game, which is sort of the new way of the NBA, I think it's great. And I think he's proven himself to be a pretty competent coach right off the bat. So, you know, I would want to see what he can do as far as developing the young guys.
I mean, that was what Mark said was our priority coming into the season. It was something like progress, not wins.
Right, Welcome to the Sixers life.
Oh my God. No, I really think the Nets should be trust the process. I don't understand the Sixers process, no offense.
What do you mean you don't understand it? What's not to understand?
Mean, you guys have so many sensors. I don't understand what y'all are doing with them.
You just have to trust it. They're going to get rid of one of them eventually.
Well, we'll hope.
Yeah.
I hope for your sake. I'm not a fan of the Sixers.
Oh, that's fine. I understand being raised in New York, you're not a fan of the Sixers. You don't have to tell me that to my face, but it's fine. I forgive you.
The city of Philly is very nice, though. I've been there a few times.
Yeah, it's great, right? It's manageable. It's big but small at the same time. Great food. All right, let's not talk about Philly. What are your biggest surprises and disappointments for the team so far?
Well, one of them would be how the Nets have performed without a true point guard. So I'd say Jeremy Lin with Vasquez being out. And Kilpatrick has been doing okay at the point. I won't say like he's supposed to be doing a great job because he's not even supposed to be at that role. He's supposed to be on the bench, not starting. But the Nets have been doing decent without Lin for a week now and Vasquez since like the second game. And another surprise would be that most of the Nets' losses were very close games. The only exceptions are to the Clippers from last night and then the 30-point loss to the Bulls. So we it's not like we're doing a completely bad job even if they're losses. And the last one, for better or for worse, the amount of threes this team takes.
I mean, I think the threes is fun. I wish I could watch more other games. We'll get into that, but yeah, I think that is a really great surprise. I mean, it's a huge surprise. Like, who would have thought the Nets would be the third most shooting threes team in the league? Does that sentence make sense?
Well, you get the idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. They shoot the most threes in the league. No one would have seen that coming. And they're hitting them at an okay clip, I guess. Again, we should all read your article because you lay it out all for us with graphics. It's very nice.
Thanks.
Sure. That must have taken you
I have
forever.
to fix it.
Well, don't tell anybody that now. Just go fix it. Shh. What about disappointments? What are you disappointed in?
I said this one before, but Vasquez, I really wanted him to do well this season because of his injury from last year, and he seemed like a really great guy who just wanted to get back into it.
Yeah.
He was saying, "Don't count me out either," but he got injured, and then we released him, and that was sad. Whitehead actually wrote something on Instagram to Vasquez, and I thought that was really nice because he.
What did it say? Was it just like keep up the faith or something of that line?
It was like saying I'm thanking him for mentoring him from this time in Brooklyn.
That's cool.
And you can see that the guys really love each other here, which is something that will get us through the season, even if we don't do well.
True. Well, you can be happy about this too. Like, as long as they're bad, their tickets will be cheap. So,
No, I would say relatively cheap because even if like if Golden State comes here, tickets are still through the roof.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's a good point. It's a good point. Let me ask you this: since they're surprising people so far, do you think that there's anyone on this roster that could get an all-star nod?
I would say Jeremy Lin, if he plays in enough games and can stay healthy, because he was doing really well, so he got injured, and he's our star, believe it or not. I'll
Yeah.
say it.
Say it loud, say it proud.
He's our star, guys. Believe
I
it.
don't know. I think for me, I mean, I would look to Lopez, but I don't think he's going to be able to do it just because his rebounding numbers are terrible.
He had one in, I think, 2012 to 13.
Yeah. Lopez did?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't really think that Jeremy Lin could do it. I think he'd really have to step up his game a lot, but you have guys like who's in the East? John Wall, he's gonna have to beat out, which John Wall, he's having a great individual season, but the Wizards are not doing great. So who knows there? And then my boy up in Toronto, oh my God, help me out here.
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Korver. No, not Kyle Korver.
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry. Thank you. Ooh. So Lowry's probably a lock.
I love Lowry and DeRozan, by the way. I'm not a Raptors fan, but that is a great duo.
Yeah, they're a great backcourt combination, man. They're so much fun right now. But then we also have Kemba Walker, who's having a career season in Charlotte. He's definitely gonna get a nod. If he doesn't, it's a travesty. I don't know, and I'm not sure.
One more thing to note, the All-Star game is a popularity contest.
Yeah, right, of course.
Lin has a lot of fans who would give him enough votes to make it in.
That's a good point. I kind of overlooked that. It's a good point. He might be able to get in. But yeah, he'd have to play a bunch more games, so hopefully he can get healthy. Anything else? Anything else you want to talk about with the Nets real quick?
I'm trying to
Well, while you're thinking, I just want to wrap this up with a well, not wrap it up, but I did have a complaint about, we were talking a little bit earlier about how I can't watch the Nets or Knicks games. I don't know what to do about this. It's making me crazy. I pay like $40 a month to watch basketball through the NBA League Pass, and I can't. I'm blocked out of every single game. And I realized the other day when I was trying to prep for this show, I can't even watch the games on Rewind. They block Knicks and Nets games on the day after. I can't watch them then either. I
Why
can't.
is it these two teams?
Because they're in our area, and so we have to either pay Yes Network or MSN or just have
Oh.
basic cable, and I can't afford any of those things. So, oh well.
Oh yeah, just the heads up, Comcast people, you guys can't view Yes Network anymore.
Oh, that's true. That's true too. That which is really rough. So I should definitely not get Comcast either.
I have Optimum and it's pretty great.
Oh, really? That's cool. I think we have Optimum too, but just for Wi-Fi. I don't know why we're talking about this. Anyway, it's all good. But anyways, listen. I think we should wrap it up here. I think we did a nice job of covering the Nets and their tremendous start. And I want to thank you, Sandy, for coming on the Superflight podcast. So tell us all again where we can follow you and reach you at.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe. And you can find me on Twitter at SandyMui1134 and on Nothing But Nets, where I'm one of the co-experts. Oh, by the way, 11 in my handle is for Jamal Crawford and 34 is for Devin Harris.
I was wondering. I didn't want to ask and seem stupid, but thanks for clearing that up.
You're welcome.
Anyway, thanks so much for coming on, and I would love to have you on again soon. Maybe like, midway through the season when they're hopefully blowing away everyone's expectation of them. We could talk about their
Right.
possible getting into the playoffs. What
That'd be great.
do you think?
And hopefully we'll see someone with an all-star nod by then.
Yeah, seriously. Good luck on that front.
Well, maybe I'm too hopeful.
Maybe. You're a fan. That's what fans do. It's fandom. Anyway, thanks for coming on, and I'll talk to you again soon. All
Right, good night, Joe.
right, take care. Bye-bye. So there you go, everybody. Sandy Moy. Thanks for coming on again. And I'm gonna wrap this one up. I think it went a little bit longer than I thought it was going to go tonight, but hit me up. Send a Twitter or whatever. I did all this stuff earlier in the beginning, so I'm not going to do it again now. But thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys again next week. Bye-bye.